Welcome to the Bob Davis Podcast, Podcast 521. So we had some stormy weather on a lot of fronts today. We had for real stormy weather in the Twin Cities. We also had stormy weather in political developments today. The decision by the FBI not to prosecute or indict former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton has people buzzing. But what's behind it all and what is perhaps coming up, we'll talk about that in Podcast 521. So it's late at night in the broadcast bunker, and because of the stormy weather we had today, I have, it's very humid down here in the bunker, even though it's cooled off considerably outside. And they are bringing the last few planes in that were delayed by the storms. So even though it is after midnight in the broadcast bunker, I've got the window open and you're going to hear planes, even though there was no way I was going to attempt to do anything on the deck tonight. It's just too wet out there. But it was great to see the storms today, but of course, if you had storm damage, it's not so great. And it is summer in the Midwest, and that means heat and humidity and storms with high winds, damaging high winds. That means trees down. It means water damage. It means hail damage. It means damage of various kinds of causes to the exterior of your home. And usually with the storm and the storm damage, there's two things that happen. The first thing is you think, well, you never expected your house to be damaged. And the second thing is you wonder who to call and how to get this fixed. So usually what will happen is in places where there has been storm damage, people start knocking on your door and you don't know them. And they tell you they can give you a great deal on storm damage repair. And the first thing is they demand either partial or full payment up front, and sometimes they disappear, and sometimes they do shoddy work. So it is a crapshoot if you hire one of those people. And you might say, well, then what do I do if I've got storm damage and it needs to get addressed? Well, you call a name that you know, and that would be Cairo Contracting in the Twin Cities, 612-708-2357. Ed Cairo grew up in St. Paul and Bloomington. Cairo Contracting is a Better Business Bureau accredited business. And because Ed Cairo is a local guy, you know that he's not going anywhere. They've been around for 15 years, residential and commercial roofing, siding, gutters, and window repair and installation. And yes, Cairo Contracting are storm damage specialists. A good example is hail. We had some hail with this particular storm. Hail can damage the shingles on your roof so that layer by layer they begin to deteriorate, and then you get these leaks. So it is something that has to get addressed if you had hail damage on your roof. So again, for 15 years, Cairo Contracting, they only do exterior work, which means they're specialists in this area. Residential and business exterior remodeling experts and storm damage specialists. The name you know and trust when it comes to storm damage repair and exterior remodeling, residential and commercial. Cairo Contracting, 612-702-2357, 612-702-2357, Cairo Contracting. Well, if you're conservative, despite all the memes about Hillary Clinton being a criminal and the angry words and the predictions of the future that she was going to be indicted by all of the advocacy talk show hosts and people in media, it's no wonder that you were shocked and surprised to find out that the FBI would not seek criminal indictment or prosecution against former Secretary of State Clinton over the so-called, email affair, right? And by the way, I hate to say I told you so, but I did tell you that there would be no indictment of Hillary Clinton. And I feel like it's time to do a podcast about that. It's time to do a podcast about politics. I hesitate to apologize for doing a podcast about politics because the minute you mention a name like Clinton or Trump, the minute you start talking about politics, you fall into this partisan house of mirrors where people will listen to you if you tell them what they want to hear, and they won't listen to you if you don't tell them what they want to hear. But I would ask people who are listening, who are on both sides of the political divide, maybe you need to hear something that you disagree with a little bit. And I'm speaking probably generally to Republicans more than I'm speaking to Democrats, because some Democrats will like what I'm going to say. Why do I say that I predicted this? Because, first of all, I did. And the reason is I looked into this because there was so much talk and so many people writing in this outrage over her emails, and she was going to go to jail, and she was going to be indicted and everything else. And from a legal perspective, the short answer is intent is a major factor in criminal law in cases like these. In other words, what did she intend to do with the email server? Did she intend to contravene national security? Those are important questions in terms of prosecution of someone of the stature of a Hillary Clinton. Or of a president. That's the short answer. And I think it's a valid short answer. The long answer is really a question. And the question is here, what do you think is going to happen if Clinton goes down? Because if Clinton goes down, then Obama goes down as well, and perhaps even before he leaves office, which is why the Obama administration has closed ranks with the Clintons in two ways. First of all, we saw Attorney General Loretta Lynch and Bill Clinton have a social, and I put quotes around that, meeting last week on the tarmac. He was ostensibly invited, I guess, onto her plane because it was hot out there on the tarmac or some ridiculous thing like that. And the second way that they closed ranks was that we saw President Obama campaigning with Clinton this week. And then today we had the FBI decision. Now, considering the fact that I don't believe there's any love lost between the Obamas and the Clintons, it was pretty significant. These two things, these two symbolic things that happened this week. Well, what about all the other questions? And this is now going to be the topic of conversation on talk radio and in the media and in commentary for the next couple of weeks, because we don't need to talk about the Brexit anymore, because everyone's predicted that the Brexit will cause the end of the world financially. So we don't need to talk about that. Let's move on to the next thing that we don't know anything about that we're going to talk about ad infinitum. What about all the other questions? Well, the answer to the other questions, and this includes all of them, is they don't matter and they never did. Because this is the exercise of power, plain and simple. If you thought that a Democrat administration was going to see to it that its attorney general prosecuted a former official of that administration, who, by the way, holds all the cards on Benghazi as it pertains to this president, then you're just plain dumb. What about all the other questions? Again, all the other questions don't matter either. So I have a suggestion for all the screaming and yelling and pounding and frustrated wannabe talk show hosts on Twitter and Facebook with all the memes and the missives and the anger and the frustration and the head shaking and everything else. Win an election and keep winning elections, and all of this will eventually go away. The only problem is then you will have to answer for your own people exercising power in ways that you did not expect. So there it is. And people say, well, what about David Petraeus? Huh? What about David Petraeus? Well, let's see. Clinton had a personal email server in her house while Secretary of State. David Petraeus was banging his biographer and giving her classified information while still on active duty. So I think it's a little bit different in terms of what David Petraeus did. And by the way, he got off with a probation and a fine, even though he was criminally investigated, although I'm not quite sure whether Petraeus was still governed by the Military Code of Justice or not, which is considerably different in this case. Meanwhile, the State Department continues to drag its feet on releasing the records demanded by the U.S. District Court, which is a big surprise, right? And then, as I mentioned, I was going to talk about Benghazi on this. About Benghazi, which I feel is mysteriously at the root of all this, there is a U.S. congressional report on the investigation which suggests poor management by both state and the White House on the issue of Benghazi at the time that it was going on, and that is being kind. Of course, the report is being decried as a partisan document. Numerous requests for better security ignored before the event in Benghazi. There was help available, but it was never ordered. A White House team met and talked about a video more than they actually talked about addressing the problem, which was ongoing while they met. And the president left for a fundraising event, and nobody did anything. And whether or not Hillary Clinton is to blame or President Obama is to blame, the fact is that the administration, as people were getting killed in Benghazi, they were asleep at the wheel, literally. The reason that this is political dynamite is that this was the same charge leveled against the Bush administration regarding 9/11 and then Katrina. I believe had it been revealed what actually happened with Benghazi, it could have and probably would have cost Obama the presidency. And it's pretty obvious that they covered it up with a cover story. She covered it up with a cover story. And then what she did was she turned that chit in to avoid prosecution. If you go down, I go down, and here's why. Because I know what happened in Benghazi, and I will tell what I know. Now, someday the truth on all this stuff is going to come out, but not this time, and not this year, and not in this particular election cycle. This is now a political issue. It has become a he said, she said, for example, predictably, just as Republicans would do. The Democrats have said that the panel that investigated Benghazi is a partisan panel and you can't trust anything that they say. Of course, the same thing would be said by Republicans if it had to do with some, lack of administrative capability regarding the Republicans. My view of it is that the administration left those people defenseless and they were killed and they didn't have to have been killed. It's pretty obvious that there was help available, at least in the form of an F-16 from Aviano and other forces that were available that could have been sent if someone had said, for God's sakes, we've got to get people over there to protect them. It's clear from the investigation that the administration was much too concerned about the so-called Libyan response, the Libyan government's response, and everything else. Everything else at this point is now going to be a matter of political speech, and she'll be accused of being a crook and a liar, and she will accuse her detractors of being partisan and politically motivated and so forth, and you can't possibly know how difficult this is, and so forth and so on. And then you will have continuous memes and outrage, and the siloed media isn't going to change anybody's mind on this. My response to it is forget it and go to work. But if you steep yourself in this constant coverage, this constant panic and outrage and anger, you're just going to end up being paralyzed. This is the sort of thing, that people they're unable to. It makes people feel hopeless about their role in possibly changing things, regardless of what part of the political spectrum you're on. Because there's quite a few Bernie Sanders people that are upset about Hillary's, offenses as well, and the fact that she's part of an establishment group. This is not limited to Republicans who hate the Clintons only. Now, if I were to say to most people, forget all that and go back to work and start organizing and trying to get the vote out, some would say to me, but, this sort of thing is what fires people up, and we need this stuff to send out to get people to make contributions and things of that nature. Well, go ahead. If you're in a campaign and you want to send out emails about Hillary Clinton and get, contributions from your people, great. But I think it's a waste of time for the rank and file out here in the street to be worried about whether or not Hillary Clinton was prosecuted or should have been prosecuted or anything else. Because the truth is, it could be argued that it turns just as many people off. I can no longer look at Twitter because it has just turned into a ghetto of shouts and insults and stupid statements from idiots regarding the political situation. And none of them, as I'm going to talk about in this podcast, have addressed the real problems. So this kind of back and forth is what leads me to travel. It's what leads me to get out in Mobile Podcast Command and see things up front and close and personal for myself. So I'm going to be heading to Cleveland in a very short period of time, and I'm going to be taking Mobile Podcast Command, and I am accepting contributions from people for Mobile Podcast Command for diesel fuel. The plan is to go up and come down the Upper Peninsula in Michigan and that wonderful unspoiled coastline along the Michigan, the Lake Michigan west coast of Michigan, again looking for the perfect beach Georgetown and take a little break from this, and then I'm going to go to Cleveland, and I will be there for the first day or so of the opening of the RNC, and then it's back east across Ohio and Indiana, up through Chicago to Oshkosh, to the air show, where I'm going to spend a week at the big EAA air show under the tower where I always am. So I'm very, 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 very excited about that, because it's a great event that's people are excited about flight, they're excited about business and entrepreneurial stuff, and they're not too political. And while I'm there, I'm hoping to see the folks from Brush Studio, who are pilots, and they'll be at EAA. What does Brush Studio do? Well, Brush Studio provides a great new way to connect with employees and clients and teams if you're in business, if you're a large company, if you're a medium-sized company, if you're a small company. You know, summertime, companies like to get people out of the office, and they like to do these team-building exercises. And I don't see the point, because there's a lot of this going on. And I every time I see a post on Instagram from somebody, but here we are at our boop-de-doo or whatever, I think to myself, when do these people work? Right? So I'm going to suggest this fantastic event at Brush Studio, because you know, it gives you an opportunity to bond with your employees and build your team without having to pretend that you're working, because it's really just fun. Brush Studio events are held in a relaxed and social setting. What happens is an artist guides people through building, or I say building, but actually painting a painting. And it's not paint by numbers. They actually paint a painting. Now, here's the thing about Brush Studio that I think is really important. If you're trying to do a team building exercise, you know, what you need is some kind of event that is designed for left brain people to bring out the right brain. And that means to bring out ideas. And that's what this does. It is not about being an artist. It is not about painting the best painting. It's about having fun, working together, and having, you know, a fun time creating something. And people will take these paintings home. They'll hang them on their walls. They'll hang them in their offices. They will never forget it. And they'll never forget the lessons they learned doing something creative. It is so much better than rappelling down a cliff or spending all day in a hotel conference room. Now, at Brush Studio, they have room for 55 people plus catering from Crave in the West End. Brush Studio also features 22 brands of beer and an extensive wine collection. So everybody's going to have a good time. They're going to have something good to eat, and they're going to come away with something they'll never forget. Keep this in mind for fall and also next winter if you are thinking about scheduling out team building exercises for the future. Here's what you do. Check out the Brush Studio banner at the top of the Bob Davis podcast page that connects you to brushstudio.net. They have videos on there that show you what they do and how it works and how much fun everybody has. Or you can reach out to Brush Studio at 952-236-1700. That's 952-236-1700, Brush Studio. So while I was reading the information about the FBI's decision to not recommend a criminal investigation on the Hillary Clinton email, quote-unquote, scandal, there was a lot of things that I was thinking about. And I'm going to return to my favorite whipping boy, the media in general. And I apologize for doing this, because it's almost as though this comes up in almost every podcast, and I apologize for it. I'm trying not to. But in this case, I think it's apropos, because this is what is one of the things that's wrong. There's a number of things that are wrong. This is one of the things that's wrong. Our media in the West, in general, doesn't report news anymore. Now, I don't know how many times that has to be said, and people cannot turn it off. You know, I go out and I speak and I talk to people, and they repeat this crap, and I say to them, turn it off. And then a year later, you'll go back to the same meeting and they come up with the same stuff again that they saw on Fox or they heard on talk radio or something else. And I tell them again, turn it off. It's crap. It's not information. It's not journalism. It is not news. What it is gossip and innuendo. And actually, the gossip and innuendo reporters do a better job sourcing stories and finding out what really happened with some rock star and cocaine use or something versus, you know, something political. What they do is they make a statement and then they use media events to prove the point without substantiating it. And it is in everything. Polls are the worst. Polls are used all the time as a reason to write a story. And one of the best examples of this happened today. This is the headline, 71% of Americans believe the economy is rigged. And then it goes on to say 71% think the U.S. economic system is rigged in favor of certain groups, according to a new poll by Marketplace, which is, CBS and Edison Research, two of the worst. Marketplace is worthless. Reading any article from Marketplace generally is a waste of time. Watching Marketplace is a waste of time. Listening to Marketplace is a waste of time. Edison Research is, how can I explain it? They're not very good political researchers at all, and they're always out trying to find a headline and to be in a story like this. The poll asked a simple question, because of course it's a simple question. The system is rigged, right? It's a simple question, right? You don't have to think about it because you would know whether the system was rigged or not, right? Which of the following comes closer to your opinion on the economic system in the U.S.? People could select between three options. And here are the three options, which is ridiculous. One, the economic system is rigged in favor of certain groups. Yes or no. Two, the economic system is fair to all Americans. Yes or no. Three, don't know. Those are your choices. That is junk polling, because it's a far more complicated question to get to. It has to do with income. It has to do with presuppositions about our government and our system. It has to do with presuppositions about our economy. It has to do with your economic standing and your knowledge of history and so forth and so on. But what that does is that allows somebody to say at a debate, you know, Senator, 71% of the people in this country think the economy is rigged, and I agree. And then they say, and so let's go ahead and prove this. Now, we've got a clickbait headline. We've got 71% of Americans believe the economy is rigged. We've got a headline. We've got a junk poll that we can throw the result in. And then we're going to prove that this is true by simply going on to say, first of all, most selected the rigged economy, because of course that's true. And of course it doesn't matter whether the person's white, black, or Hispanic, or whether they were Republican or Democrat, or independent, which is another nonsense group. The majority feel the American dream comes with a huge asterisk that reads only for the favored few. Where was that in the question? What is the American dream? How do you define the American dream? And how does that come only for the favored few? So this is what they do. They write a gossip column to prove a political point, and then they pay off by going out and saying that the speech given by Jesse Williams, the actor, at the BET Awards recently, where he talked about the system was built to divide, impoverish, and destroy us, and it can't stand if we do, and other such polyglot rhetoric that's been clipped from different parts of history and different documents that mean different things. So the payoff, in other words, the proof that 71% of Americans believe the economy is rigged, is an actor's speech at the BET Awards, in which he put on a big act and show about being, angry about inequality when he's probably a multimillionaire, right? But you didn't hear him talking about that. So that's the proof. Well, that's what the media does in this country. Everything that's written. Now, that particular item came from CNN Money, which is terrible. And, is it biased? They're all like that. Very seldom, even in the Wall Street Journal, do you not find articles that are opinion pieces disguised as news. And I wouldn't be surprised if that was written from a press release that Edison put out, that they sent a press release, they wrote the story up, and they did a few little editorializing comments and sent it out. It's not news. News would be actually seeking to put some investigative journalists on it and actually talk to some people that would be able to discuss the issue, as I have just recently, about the different parameters of what that would mean. The big study that Piketty did that shows that there's supposedly inequality and the Gini coefficient and everything else. Nobody ever explains what the Gini coefficient is. Nobody ever says that there is actually research that either contradicts what Saez and Piketty said, or is down a different way, depending on how you measure it, depending on you know, what numbers you use, depending on whether it's pre-tax and post-entitlement transfer payments and so forth. That would take an hour and a half to discuss, but nobody wants to hear that because they don't actually want to know about the study. This is the kind of thing that fires people up, and that's all that's really important. And you say, well, but yeah, okay, so, you know, if I'm not going to vote for Hillary, then, you know, how can I support Donald Trump? Well, if you can't support Donald Trump, that's fine. If you can't support Hillary Clinton, that's fine. If you can't support any of them, that's fine as well. I still think we should turn it off and go to work in the garden and ignore all of it, because barring a miracle, and this is the core of what I want to talk about in this podcast, this is what we've got. And if not, we'll have carbon copies of the same crap. This is where we're at in this country. And no one knows why, and no one is going to figure it out because of presuppositions. The system is rigged. Yes, the system is rigged. Both Trump and Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders and everybody else shouts, the system is rigged. Yes, dummy, the system is rigged. It's called the American Republic. It was a system designed by and for aristocrats, whether they were white male landowners. It was not designed by women. There were no female or black delegates at the Constitutional Convention. It was based on similar aristocratic systems like the Roman system, the Roman Republic, the Greek Republic. All of the republics have been based on some level of aristocratic control of government, whether it's the United Provinces, Britain, Venice. All of the systems were in some way, shape, or form a synthesis of monarchy, and we have been struggling ever since to try to figure out what the balance is between that type of system and a system where that was a little bit more democratic or based more on the individuals, the populace in general. Having said that, it's a pretty good system. And when combined with free markets, it allows people or encourages people or incents people to strive to become aristocrats and rule. And yes, the system was rigged. And yes, the system is rigged. But the difference between the system as it was originally intended and the system we now have is that our system is now rigged to benefit people in government, people who cut deals with government, people who get subsidies and so forth. So it's designed to be run by carefully educated elites who either are in government or business associated with it. For example, Elon Musk's company lives off of carbon credits that they sell in California. It lives off of subsidies. And people just rave about the Tesla and how wonderful Elon Musk is. His company has been built on a partnership between government and quote-unquote business. This is not the capitalistic system. The capitalistic system has been subverted, indeed perverted, and yet the presupposition in our society is that this is capitalism. The fact is that our society, and I'm talking about the United States in the 20th and 21st century, has been a collective authoritarian government with some qualifications to the contrary, but it has been a collective in general since the Great Depression, and certainly between both World War I and World War II, and since the emergence of the statists slash progressives at the beginning of the 20th century. So yeah, the system is rigged. Republican or Democrat, they are not going to fix it because from their perspective, it is fixed. Are there contrary points of view on this? Yeah, you can soften it one way or the other. Most Democrats will balk at the idea that it's a collective and that it's already a rigged system and has been for years. Most Republicans will think that it's rigged, but only for the Democrats. You can justify either way, one way or another, but you're not going to fix it by giving people free stuff or electing someone who pretends to be a conservative because they're going to tell the Chinese off or because they have a presumptive R in front of their name. Well, I'm a conservative because I'm a Republican. No, you're not. It's still a collective. And eventually, the truth of the matter is that the collective will collapse, which is the key point of this podcast. The greatest challenge of our generation and the generations that will follow and the generation before us that are all alive and operating as adults in this country is how we will handle the inevitable collapse of a system which is based on presuppositions that are flat out wrong. Government policies that grow the economy or restart stalled economies by stimulating demand, government policies that are increasingly based on credit, debasing the coin of the realm, so to speak. This is the root of all of our moral problems. This is the great moral hazard of our time. This is why people feel as though they can't get ahead. It has nothing to do with Hillary Clinton. It has nothing to do with Donald Trump. It has nothing to do with anything other than the fact that central banks across the world continue to print fiat currency and debase the coin of the realm, and this is what's causing all of the lack of virtue in our society, plain and simple. It's not methamphetamine. It's not cocaine. It's not gay people. It's not sex parties. It's not any of that stuff. Those things will gradually go away if we had integrity in our government and in our currency. John Malden writes about the economy. John Malden is an investor, and he wrote this week about something called presuppositions. Dutch theologian Cornelius Van Til created a philosophical school called presuppositionalism. Quote, if I know what your presuppositions are, if I know your true core foundational beliefs, I can tell you how you're going to act. I can tell you what your values are. I can tell you who you are. I know how you will ultimately interpret the scriptures. Your presuppositions determine how you act and work and think in the world. Central banks all over the world operate on a simple presupposition. They are monetizing debt at a rapid pace. Why? Because governments have spent themselves into the poorhouses believing that if they spend more and continue to spend on public works projects and give people money and provide pensions and provide for government entitlements and provide for government programs to help people, they will solve all the problems and they will stimulate the demand of the population. Too much spending, however, equals too much debt, and all debt must eventually be liquidated. Monetizing through lower interest rates, quantitative easing, and other more creative means is very difficult for people to understand because that requires a lot of reading and reporting, and nobody wants to hear that. They just want to hear that Hillary Clinton's a criminal. So that's how that goes. But 0% interest rates and less than 0% interest rates, for example, continue to fuel malinvestment across our economy and allocation of resources. What does that mean? It means that a guy who starts a company has problems borrowing money, but a bank can borrow money basically at 0% interest rates from the Fed and invest it in the markets, which are being propped up by the Fed, and make money on that money. That's what it is. And that's why you can't go to the bank and borrow money. And that's why it's hard, because people are struggling to save when you have 0% interest rates. But we have two or three basket cases in the country and in the world, right now that I think people should be aware of. And I'll continue to talk about this because any of them can blow up at any time spectacularly. And they describe a potential government-caused catastrophe. And this is the real story no one wants to talk about. Europe is a basket case. As I have outlined in the Brexit podcasts, China is a potential basket case with its empty cities and its profligate debt and so forth. It has been hidden. Their problems have been hidden by coverage of the Brexit and their own excellent PR. The United States is a basket case. We have less than 1% or 1% growth in the GDP. That is not enough for people to feel prosperous, because it isn't prosperous, because if you figure it in relation to inflation, we're actually not growing. And then, of course, Japan has been a basket case for the last 20 years. So you have some pretty big economies slowing down and not growing. And this is what's causing all of the consternation. And in the meantime, to address it, they are debasing the coin of the realm to, quote unquote, get people excited about buying grain and tomatoes and grapes. When the U.S. is excited about a revision from 0.5% GDP growth in the first quarter to 1.1%, you got to wonder. Some of us believe government spending, unless controlled, is misallocation. So what are we talking about? We're talking about debt. We're talking about spending and borrowing to stimulate demand. We're talking about central banks monetizing the federal debt with 0% interest rates or lower. In Europe, they're negative interest rates, and they want to do this. Corporate debt is another factor. You know, everybody talks about these companies making all this money. There's a huge amount of corporate debt right now, and they're not showing the profit that they have been used to showing. And they have not been able to get their profit numbers back up to the levels that would really indicate healthy companies. So you have slow or no profit. Plus, you have all kinds of regulation and further misallocation of resources. How does that work? Well, one of the things that people don't know about is that the economic growth numbers in the last two or three quarters is almost all quote-unquote healthcare spending. Well, what is healthcare spending? It's the insurance. Insurance is going up, and it's being reflected in the economic numbers in terms of spending, but it's not growth. It's people that are forced to spend more money to buy health insurance, which is, in a sense, a great example of misallocation. It's taking money, it's borrowing from Peter to pay Paul, but it's borrowing money from Peter to go over here and to build a bridge or to build new bathrooms on an army base or something like that, to build roundabouts or to subsidize housing or to build a football stadium for $1.5 billion. What happens is that money is going into that thing because they think that they're stimulating jobs by employing contractors, but there are only a tiny percentage of the public that is contractors, let's say, in a football stadium, and so that's a misallocation. You can't go to a bank and start a business and borrow the money to run your business reasonably because they're misallocating all the money. And then when they go into debt to do it, where does that money come from? Do they print it? And what do they do if they print it? They can either print it or they can tax it. And so what it means is further misallocation through the printing and further misallocation through the increase of taxes to pay for the debt. And that is what is wrong with our economy. Now, there are still opportunities because we are an inventive people and the economy is a force of nature. There's tremendous opportunities in technology and entrepreneurship in the future. The problem is neither mainline candidate in this country today supports policies that would encourage this kind of development. In other words, supply side development. Now, the traditional, the traditional classic economists will tell you there is no demand and there is no supply. That's a Keynesian presupposition. There is only supply. There is only stimulating savings and stimulating investment. There is no demand side. Sooner or later, the world's populations are going to come to the conclusion that the current leadership that we have, and that includes both Bushes and Clintons and any future Republican or Democrat president and all of the central banks going back to Greenspan, and some would argue the central bank going back 100 years, have been making consistently bad decisions from the get-go. They're off the rails, and now we're headed towards a catastrophic breakdown. And I couldn't tell you when it will occur because people will say, well, we can just keep borrowing. We can print and borrow till the cows come home. And maybe they can. It is unfortunate that our sclerotic political system and our terrible media, which misserves us by not actually reporting news, is slow to react to fix its own problems so that we might be better informed and better served by our politics. They have certainly provided candidates who understand the frustration and provide the rhetoric to match, but trade protectionism and making the government work better aren't new ideas, and they are not going to fix this massive potential problem brewing worldwide. More government spending, debt forgiveness, free college, forgiveness of student loans if you start a business, and single-payer health combined with trade protectionism won't fix it either. There's a new age coming. It's going to be a great age. But the question is when. It could happen any time, or it could be 30 or 40 or 50 years from now, and we could languish until a new generation of our children's grandchildren somehow stumble upon classic economics and implements it. We first have to recognize that this technological development that we have has formed a crust, if you will, a basis to push us forward. But it's going to require significant changes in how we view government and work and reward, as well as our role in the rest of the world. I'll give you an example. And I this is probably going to end up being an hour-long podcast, and I'm sorry for that. But I'll give you an example. And this comes from the book, my own book, my own the pages of my own life book. Because I've realized that after 40 years of working in radio and working for companies for paychecks, you develop a number of presuppositions about work, and they tend to be very negative because you wait until someone tells you to do something to do it, even if you're a self-starter. And it takes a number of years in business for yourself to realize the opportunities are limitless, and they depend entirely upon what you're able to do. And for those people who have worked in those kinds of jobs where you really only do what you're told to do, it's a great challenge to think about a world that is really an entrepreneurial world, that's really a self-starting world. This is a challenge to all of us, and you can't accept such a challenge working from poor information from our crappy media and social media memes or calls to talk radio. You can't accept a challenge like this with an up, down, right, left political orientation. You've got to be able to change your suppositions. You've got to change or update how you think about all of these things. What do we read? What do we watch? Where do we get the information that we have? That's a completely different conversation, and we want to have a completely different conversation. That's why I travel. That's why I want to go to Burning Man. That's why I want to go to Sturgis. That's why I'm trying to find these events where things are happening that change the way we think, and that's the challenge. It isn't going to happen in this election. It doesn't matter who you vote for. It doesn't even matter ultimately who's president. It doesn't even matter who's in Congress. This thing is coming, whether we want it to come or not, and it's going to shake the foundations of the world that we live in. So you better get used to changing the foundation of how you think. Because if you are steeped in conspiracy theory, if you're steeped in gossip known as news from the mainstream media or even from crappy, small websites, I feel sorry for you because the changing of the thought is a long and involved process that requires internal focus, and it forces you to think creatively, and it forces you to open your mind and become optimistic about something called capitalism. And there's so much confusion about what that is and how it works. So as I said, it's hard to root out the old ways of thinking about work, especially in my world. And I have to do it daily. I wake up every day sometimes with negative thoughts about what's going to happen, and I have to excise those thoughts from my mind. And over time, it gets easier and easier. But you have to make adjustments, not from bitterness or rancor, but because you want to, because the world that we're headed into allows the individual to amplify themselves in ways that no one can imagine, even today, and that people, it was impossible to imagine when people designed the current system that we're living under, which is this collective, monolithic authoritarian system that we call a democracy. It may be that we go back to the way it was at the turn of the 18th century or the 19th century, in the sense that these ideas about freedom and liberty that are so powerful and so radical, even in our age, become the norm. But getting to that in this world is going to be increasingly difficult. The political world simply does not serve us in its present form. In our present mindset and form, with all the nastiness and the arguing and the anger and the Twitter feeds and this constant, this constant reaction to stimuli. Oh, the Brits voted out of the EU. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Terrible things are going to happen. Hillary Clinton's not going to be prosecuted. These people are terrible. The system is rigged. What are we going to do? Wake up. And I hate to say wake up, because that's the refrain of all of the people that always tell people to wake. Wake up. You don't know what's the truth. The truth is the system is rigged. And it's okay that the system is rigged, but when you have this thicket of corruption and government and business partnerships at the top, that's what has to be cut away, not capitalism and not the desire to build a business for yourself and to amplify yourself as an individual. So to that, end of this week, perhaps the beginning of next week, I'm going to be heading out, and I'm going to be heading out to first, as I said, to Cleveland by way of the Upper Peninsula, and then to the air show. And after that, I'll probably take a break and then head back out, and hopefully I'll get tickets to Burning Man, I'll know by the end of July if I'm going to get those tickets to Burning Man, and then I'll go to Burning Man and hopefully have yet another conversation. And I may do more and more of this, just finding festivals and places to go and pretty much leave this, because I don't think that this election is going to solve anything. And I'm real tired. I'm sorry to say this. I'm just real tired of having the same friggin' conversation with people over and over again about who do you think's going to win and you know, what's going to happen. And honestly, I don't even know why I'm going to Cleveland, except that I think they're going to dump Trump at the convention. And I kind of want to be there on the eve of that to have a sort of a reference, a physical reference. But I'm not staying for the whole convention. I'm out of there after a day or two and headed to Oshkosh. So that's about it. I don't have much more to say, but I guess I got a lot out of the Hillary Clinton. The outrage over the Hillary Clinton thing is just silliness. It's just, what did you think was going to happen? Come on. Thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcasts, Podcast 521. So again, if you are a company, large, small, or medium-sized, and you're looking for team-building events, investigate brushstudio.net, Brush Studio in the West End in St. Louis Park. Plenty of parking, and it's a great opportunity to bond with your employees and create a team experience by doing something that's really, really fun. Click on brushstudio.net. You'll see videos that explain the whole thing. And don't forget, with all these storms, I should mention this because I know there's going to be people out there that are thinking, gee, what am I going to do about my roof? Cairo Contracting, they've been around for 15 years. They're a Better Business Bureau accredited business, which is no small thing. Ed Cairo grew up in Bloomington and St. Paul. They are storm damage specialists, so they can address your exterior. And by the way, exterior is what they do. They do storm damage, exterior, gutters, things of that nature. They don't do interior contracting, so they're experts at this stuff. Cairo Contracting, I'll give you the number, 612-702-2357. That's 612-702-2357, Cairo Contracting. And yeah, I'm heading out to the EAA Air Show in Mobile Podcast Command. So I am accepting donations at thebobdavispodcast.com. I'm going to be there for Alpha Systems. They'll be exhibiting the Alpha Systems AOA indicator. Bottom line is Alpha Systems saves lives. If you're a pilot and you want to be safe on takeoffs and landings, it's really important to have a visual indicator of your angle of attack, especially when you turn on final approach. If you want more info, see them at EAA or click on the Alpha Systems banners for more info about Alpha's revolutionary angle of attack indicator at thebobdavispodcasts.com. Thanks for signing up for the Bob Davis newsletter, The Bob Line, which is going to be coming out at the end of July. And you do that by clicking on thebobdavispodcast.com right there at the top of the page. There's a sign up form. I can't just send this to people who've emailed me. I have to have a new email list with, you know, basically ostensibly your permission for me to send you this. Thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast on Stitcher.com, iTunes, TuneIn, blogtalkradio.com, right off the page at the Bob Davis Podcast.com. And thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast radio show on AM 1280 The Patriot in Minneapolis on Sundays at 4 p.m. More affiliates as we get them. And of course, although I decry it, here I am. Thanks for liking and sharing and favoriting and following on Facebook and Twitter. And of course, my favorite, Instagram, because there is no snarking on Instagram. And again, thanks for listening to Podcast 521. Welcome to July.
Is there anybody out there? Is there anybody waiting? Getting sick of your surroundings. All you want is some attention.